Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Happy Easter.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Friday, April 26, 2024. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. Happy Friday. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you here early this Friday morning in the fourth week of Easter here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's hard to believe how fast the Easter season has been going, but we can continue to say Happy Easter during this glorious 50-day Easter season as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. Big news this morning, a new addition to the Morning Air family. Congratulations to our producer, Gabby Burke, who gave birth to a little baby boy. Baby Joseph came into the world last night. We are so happy for Gabby and her husband, Tommy. Many blessings going forward to little baby Joseph. We've been waiting for this baby for some time. I want to bring
approximately 9 months, John.
Yes, approximately, exactly. I want to bring in Sarah and Glenn. This is a pretty exciting news for our team. I heard about it just a little before nine last night.
Yeah, I don't know if I was, who was more restless, Gabby or me? I was kind of like, we heard that her water broke and I was like, oh gosh, here we go. You know, I know what that's like. So I was waiting and waiting, waiting by the phone for any little detail. And we finally, you know, heard, okay, here we go. The finish line was made and crossed and little baby in her, Joseph in her hand. So that's great.
Yeah, big congratulations to Gabby and her husband and the siblings too, who are now big siblings. And little baby Joseph, welcome to the world as well. And you know, for all the stuff, John, that you and I talk about that we do day to day or week to week or have done in the past on different broadcasts, nothing compares to the strength and determination of the ladies on the show who actually have to give birth. So I think
no doubt about that.
The weaker sex, you know, are the ones who talk a lot about baseball, I think.
For sure. And, of course, we will pass along some more details as we get them from Gabby about little baby Joseph. Can't wait to hear from Gabby. And we continue, of course, to pray for her. Hey, Glenn, what are a couple of the headlines in the news on this Friday morning?
Different court spin for the Trump camp today. Excuse me. Supreme Court taking a look at immunity and still deciding some very interesting arguments about how far a president can go and still be within the law. Would it be, you know, he can do whatever he wants, or the idea that no one is above the law? And so that decision expected, again, sooner than the end of the session, which would come late in June. And so expecting something rather soon because, you know, with many court cases going on, that will affect a lot of things, perhaps.
And no doubt.
More on that coming up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It has lots of ramifications, and we're going to break it down much further coming up in a few moments as Morning Air contributor and political analyst Alfonso Aguilar will be with us here in a few minutes to talk about some of these legal challenges for the former president. Meanwhile, the protests, the anti-Israel protests continue across our country. It has spread like wildfire. What's the latest, Glenn?
Well, it's been going on for over 2 weeks now. It started with the arrest of over 100 demonstrators at Columbia April 18th. The arrest total around the country now over 400 for protesters who refused to disperse. This student a little surprised by that at USC.
I never actually would have thought my school would send me to jail, you know. I never thought I'd be zip-tied, have handcuffs, and have LAPD, you know, take me downtown.
USC canceling its main commencement ceremony. That's pretty sad for the students who are hoping to walk across the stage with a diploma. And Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said there's an appropriate time for the National Guard. In Florida, Ron DeSantis posted, if you try that at a Florida university, you'll be expelled.
Yeah, this is just absolutely unbelievable what is happening with all of these anti-Israel protests across the country. Although last night I actually saw some of the highlights of pro-Israel demonstrations going on in the Big Apple, and there was a lot of people that actually showed up with Israeli flags along with American flags and, you know, bringing a whole nother side to the issue.
you know, it's hard enough to concentrate on one's studies as the last month of school approaches. And I think, you know, I mean, we've always had the right to protest, but, you know, when they're, you know, protesting individual people based on their race and religion and things like that, that's not good.
Well, on a much, much happier note, they are celebrating in the Windy City. The 2024 NFL draft got underway last night. There were a bunch of offensive players on the board. A record 23 offensive players were taken in that first round. The big moment came when the Chicago Bears heard the announcement of USC quarterback Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. Here was the moment as heard on ESPN.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
You won a Heisman Trophy. You're the number one pick in the NFL Draft. What is your next goal as a member of the Chicago Bears?
Learn all my teammates' names, their families, learn the playbook, and get ready to go win games.
Congratulations to Bears fans and Caleb Williams. He's been described as a generational quarterback, a former Heisman Trophy winner, also compared to Patrick Mahomes for his ability to run and to be able to throw the football a long way and from many different angles, Glenn.
Yeah, I love that practical answer, too. What's the first thing you're going to do? Learn my teammates' names. It's a good answer.
That was
great. But offensive players taken like crazy in the draft last night. It was quite a while until a defender was taken. I know six quarterbacks out of the first 12 guys that were picked. So that's a kind of a record as well. And, of course, you know, one of your favorites from Michigan, quarterback J.J. McCarthy, went to the Minnesota Vikings at number 10. They traded with the Jets to move up one pick, and they took the quarterback they reportedly were really looking for.
I'm so happy for your Vikings. J.J. McCarthy is the real deal. 27-1 as a starter, leading Michigan to the national championship. So it'll be exciting to see how he develops and works into the Vikings offense.
Yeah, so NFL does a great job getting us to think about football year-round, and last night a great example. Rounds 2 and 3 continue today in the draft, and then more on Saturday as well. Not that Minnesota has hardly any picks left. They have traded a bunch of those to get to move up a little bit, but also picking up an edge rusher last night, pick number 17 as well. And so, yeah, watched a little too much draft last night.
I was keeping an eye on the draft and on little baby Joseph. So, as always, thanks so much, Glenn and Sarah. We begin every morning, as we always do, always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. We continue to pray for peace in the world, especially in the Middle East and in Ukraine, and peace in our nation, on our college campuses. And, of course, we continue to pray for our producer, Gabby, and little baby Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every single morning, especially here during this Easter season when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Are you looking for a house, a loving spouse, a miracle or two? Bring your intentions to the 11th annual Walk to Mary, 21 miles through Wisconsin to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Champion. It's the only approved Marian apparition in the U.S., and many pilgrims come back again and again for a powerful, prayerful experience. The walk includes 14, 7, and 1.7-mile options along the 21-mile route, and concludes with Mass. Join your parish family and Catholics from all across the country at this uniquely beautiful shrine nestled in the Wisconsin countryside for the spiritual pilgrimage of the year, Saturday, May 4th. You can sign up this morning at walktomary.com. That's walktomary.com. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Colossians 3:17. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." St. Paul reminds us that it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, a doctor, a mother, a professional athlete, whatever you do, if you do it for Jesus and for his glory, you're on the right track. You can sanctify your work if you do it for the Lord. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer that Drew and Maggie pray every afternoon during the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." You can always send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as we mentioned here at the top of the show, yesterday was a very busy day for former President Trump. While he attended his so-called hush money trial in New York, he couldn't attend the Supreme Court's oral arguments on presidential immunity. Unfortunately, Trump doesn't have the gift of bilocation. What is happening during this hush money trial in New York City, and what happened during the Supreme Court oral arguments? We're going to talk about it. Let me share with you a little bit of what John Sauer with Trump's legal team had to say in his arguments on the case.
The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike?
And joining us live from Washington, D.C. this morning is attorney and political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the director of Hispanic Engagement at American Principles Project, with his perspective on both of these Trump legal cases. Alfonso is a regular contributor to Morning Air and a frequent guest on Fox News, MSNBC, Telemundo, Univision, and CNN en Español. Good morning, Alfonso. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well. Alfonso, former President Trump, of course, was in New York and continues this morning as well for this hush money criminal trial. He obviously couldn't be at the Supreme Court for the oral arguments on presidential immunity. Can you give us a brief summary of, first of all, this week-long trial that Trump has been facing regarding the hush money case before we get into the Supreme Court?
Well, look, this is a fabricated case. If they were so interested in prosecuting it, they could have done it a long time ago. They didn't. But they moved ahead now because he's a candidate for president. And I mean, what we're seeing is a fabricated story that the president somehow engaged in an illegal scheme to identify negative stories and then pay off the sources of those stories. And that's just ridiculous. What happened here is something that is totally legal that happens every day in America with very well-known people. They sign non-disclosure agreements with people who come up with weird stories that may affect their reputation in all areas of life, family, socially, business. You know, Donald Trump is all about his brand, the Trump brand. And you had several people making allegations that he alleges vehemently that are wrong and are false. And he reached an agreement with them. And there was a payoff as part of that agreement. That happens in America. It's legal. He didn't violate any law. Now, all the misdemeanors in this case had prescribed. But to be able to proceed with the charges, they came up with this weird concept that he falsified records to commit with intention of committing a more serious crime. You know, that allowed them an additional year because the statute of limitations for that felony was extended by a year because of COVID. You know, again, there's no crime. It's a non-disclosure agreement. DOJ considered whether that, you know, hush money, if you want to call it that, was a campaign contribution, and they decided not to proceed with prosecution. FEC didn't file, didn't react to it either, didn't proceed with any type of complaint or action against the president. So, you know, there's nothing here, nothing here. So what we're listening to this past days is obviously the testimony of David Pecker, the person who owned the company that in turn owned the National Enquirer, and, you know, describing what media outlets do every day, you know, follow an editorial line, decide what stories to run, which not to run. And but, you know, that he was collaborating with Trump in identifying those negative stories. But this, as the defense has said in the case, there's nothing illegal with trying to influence elections. It's totally legal. So there was nothing, there's nothing here. And this continues. Obviously, another part of the case is this gag order that they've imposed on the president. He's told that he can't say anything about officers of the court, the judge, the prosecutors, the witnesses. And, you know, that seems unfair because he's running for president and because you have Michael Cohen, who is the principal, the key witness of the prosecutor, going on, you know, liberal media outlets to disparage Trump. So, you know, it's difficult for Trump. Obviously, that's part of the strategy in this case, which obviously has been filed for political reasons. They're trying to gag him, literally, to so that he can't say anything, defend himself, speak publicly when he's running for president. And also remember, this trial will last 6 to 8 weeks, and that means that for that time he won't be able to campaign, to go to battleground states and campaign against President Biden. So there are many reasons why this case was filed, and look, it's going to continue. You know, we still have to hear from other witnesses, and particularly Michael Cohen. But also the defense will have a chance to counter-interrogate the witness of the prosecution.
Well, Alfonso, many constitutional legal experts like Professor Jonathan Turley believe that the case is a legal embarrassment and a historic mistake. It should never have been allowed to go forward for some of the reasons that you just mentioned. Let's talk about the other case, this landmark Supreme Court oral hearings that went on yesterday about Trump's presidential immunity. Can you give us the basics on that case?
Well, very interesting. It was a good day for Donald Trump in the Supreme Court. While it looks from the questioning that the court is not going to agree on the president's argument that he has absolute immunity, that the president has absolute immunity while in office, they did show clearly that they believe that the president does have some protections, some qualified protection, that when he's in office, when he's conducting official business, he should be protected. And that is good news for the president because that may lead to a delay in the case, which will ensure that the trial on the January 6th allegations will not happen before November, which is obviously what the special counsel Jack Smith is trying to do, and why this case was filed. They want again to harm Donald Trump before the election, to derail his campaign. And that's why they want to have the trial before, you know, they want a speedy trial now before the election. I mean, they may not be there. They may happen after November. Obviously, that benefits Trump. And the argument is that if there is a qualified immunity, that they may send it back to the district court for the district court to kind of figure out, you know, draw the lines, why President Trump's actions violated that qualified immunity. And obviously that could be appealed by Trump, the decision, that particular decision of the district court. And then he could go back to the Supreme Court, and that could delay matters even more.
Alfonso, we do have a little bit of audio from the justices, the conservative justices, Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas, as they questioned the attorney for the special counsel yesterday.
If an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy?
Did you agree that there are some core functions of the executive that president conduct that Congress cannot criminalize?
Yes.
Is that a form? I mean, we can call it immunity or you can call it they can't do it, but what's the difference?
Does the president have immunity or are you saying that there's no immunity, presidential immunity, even for official acts?
Yes, Justice Thomas.
Alfonso, we've got about a minute to go. Your thoughts?
Well, clearly, they understand that whatever happens in this case is going to have a historic impact, is going to create a precedent. That's why I think it was Justice Gorsuch who said this case is a case for the ages. We don't want, they express it, if the president has no protection, we don't want a politically motivated prosecutor, you know, after a president leaves office, to file, charges arbitrarily to go after, the outgoing president for whatever reason. You know, democracy needs stability. President of the United States needs to have that autonomy to function, not to be afraid of, when he's having conversations or doing certain things that, when he leaves office, he's going to be prosecuted. So I think that's why they understand that clearly the impact that this case is going to have for the future.
Very important case. Lots of ramifications going forward for the office of the president. We should know something by June. As always, Alfonso, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate your analysis and perspective.
Thank you for having me.
Attorney and political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the director of Hispanic engagement at American Principles Project. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Colleen Scaraño, the co-founder of SoulCorps, will be with us to talk about nourishing our body, mind, and soul by incorporating the rosary to our workout. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on this Friday on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
With John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
And thanks for jumping with us this morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and producer Sarah. Thanks for tuning in on this Friday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As always, you can send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. All right, I have a question for you this morning. Do you struggle to committing to exercising on a regular basis? Joining us live from Noblesville, Indiana, just outside of Indianapolis, is inspirational speaker and retreat leader Colleen Scaraño, the co-founder of SoulCorps, to talk about exercise and praying the rosary and how by doing so we can nourish our body, mind, and soul. Good morning, Colleen. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. It's really good to have you on the show.
Good morning, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Colleen, I understand that since you were young, athletics has always been a part of your life. But as many adults, including this reporter, you struggled with committing to an exercise routine. How do you deal with that challenge?
Well, yes, being in athletics was great because you had to do the work. And so sometimes when it becomes our own, decision and discipline to do it, it becomes a little bit more of a challenge for many people. John, through SoulCorps, which is a new movement that pairs the prayers of the rosary with physical movement and really with a focus on stretching, strengthening, and functional movement. to really help people nourish body, mind, and soul all in one, and to help people reflect more deeply on the mysteries and the virtues of the rosary. And so really that combination for me of, you know, engaging the whole person in movement and exercise and the prayers is helps me feel that there's something greater beyond just the exercise. It's really all about being a fit instrument to God to live out our vocation as fully as possible. And so that has really given me kind of the, you know, draws the whole person into it and engages, you know, all of our being in it. And so that really helps you stay with it a little more than just trying to stick with exercise on your own. At least it has for me. And we know that that's been the testimony for many others who have participated in Soul Corps.
Well, before we dive more into Soul Corps, I know that there was a personal tragedy a while back that actually led you to discovering the beauty and the healing power of the rosary. Can you share with us some of that story and the role that the rosary has in your life?
Yes, thank you. Yes, as you said, it really was personal tragedy that planted the seeds of Soul Corps. And as God does so many times, like really through suffering, he brings such beautiful things when we suffer and turn to him for healing. And so for me, in a short period of time, I experienced some personal tragedy. My mom died suddenly. And then just 2 months later, my dad and my brother died in an accident together. You can imagine it was a time of deep grief for our family and really a time of real brokenness for me personally. And the rosary became kind of a healing instrument in my life. And then I began running and praying the rosary, and the combination of the movements and the prayer together became really an instrument of transformation, of healing, and transforming grief into a greater sense of peace and hope, and eventually even a return joy. And so the seeds of Soul Corps were planted through that. Then I went on a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and while there, a priest had told me that, you know, when Our Lady sends you home, she's going to have a mission for you. And I kind of wondered what my mission would be. And shortly after returning from that pilgrimage, received what I like to call a massive inspiration for the Holy Spirit to combine core strengthening with the rosary. And combined with my partner, Deanne Miller, who co-founded Soul Corps with me, we just, led by the Holy Spirit, began creating what is now has evolved into Soul Corps today.
Well, I think that this conversation here this morning is so relevant for so many people. What do you say to folks who say they're just too busy to work out, too busy to exercise?
Well, you know, and we all do lead very busy and very full lives, and it can be challenging to make time. But the reality is that God came that we have, he says, you know, life in abundance and life to the full, and really, really living out the fullness of our capabilities in body, mind, and soul. And so we have to prioritize these things in order to really live that abundant life that they think everyone desires to live. And so, you know, what we love about Soul Corps, we always say it's a great 2-for-1, actually a 3-for-1, you know, nourishing body, mind, and soul, because our lives are busy, and sometimes time is very short, and, you know, very short availability in our lives. And so Soul Corps is this way to combine two things at once, especially in our busy schedules. And really what happens is when people do start committing to nourishing body, mind, and soul in that way, the results, they feel a sense of calm, a sense of peace, a sense of strength developing in themselves. And that usually is what really keeps people moving forward on the journey of staying committed to something like that. So, and there's so much grace, you know, in the rosary alone. We one of our lines about the rosary is that it really is an instrument to cultivate interior peace and to grow in virtue, which is really what all of us need to do to be able to live out our Catholic faith fully in our lives.
No doubt about that. I want to invite our listeners and open up our phone lines. If you've ever prayed the rosary while working out, while you've been running or walking or doing any kind of exercise routine, if you're interested in the rosary and exercise, we're taking your calls for Colleen Scariano, the co-founder of Soul Corps, at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Colleen, what makes Soul Corps different than other exercise programs that are out there? Obviously, there's so many to choose from.
You know what? One thing that we say, really, obviously, the rosary certainly sets Soul Corps apart. And we also, there are other prayers offerings that we do prayer with movement as well. You know, recently in Lent, we did a lot of offerings through the Stations of the Cross. We have the Divine Mercy Chaplet and many other prayer offerings, especially the beautiful prayers of the Catholic Church. But really what we talk about is that the sole core, what the core difference is, that it's really about an interior transformation. So that kind of transforming from the inside and working its way out, versus many other, you know, fitness programs or health programs can be based more on an external transformation. And so I think that really is a unique difference about that. And truly the rosary, which is a transformational prayer, you know, that our roots are based in the rosary. And we always say that Soul Core is an invitation for everyone, because the prayer is our primary focus. You will always pray, but the physical, there's no physical ability required. The physical movements can be adjusted to suit anyone's physical limitations, or it can be amped up, you know, to take on anyone's physical capabilities. And we have so many offerings that offer various movements, whether that's workouts from a chair, that's simply stretching, cardio, which can be running. We have, you know, workouts for post-pregnancy. So there's no physical capability required for Soul Core.
Your apostolate sounds very Catholic, of course, with the rosary, the Stations of the Cross, Divine Mercy as part of it. But it's also good for other Christians as well?
It is. We say that it's an invitation to everything, because the rosary is biblically based. And St. John Paul II said that the rosary really is a compendium of the Gospels, that it's kind of a cliff note of the Gospels, that it encompasses all the depth of the gospel. So really it's kind of this beautiful, we like to call it almost a little bit of a shortcut in reflecting on the gospel. So it's an invitation for all people of all faiths to really come and experience the depth of the Gospels in body, mind, and soul through Soul Core.
Can you give us a few highlights and walk our listeners through an example of the Soul Core workout and what they can expect?
Sure. Throughout the class, we have a balance of effort and surrender. So there's periods of rest where we come down for listening to the announcement of the mystery of the rosary, the virtue that's tied to that mystery, a scripture versus shared that relates to that virtue, and then a short reflection is offered after that. So people get to rest during that time, which does seem to be everyone's favorite time. But then we're up, just like life, we're the balance of resting and then work. We're up and we're working. We do a series of push-ups through the Our Fathers. So that's pretty consistent through. We offer modifications again for anyone that can't do push-ups. And then we do, we come to a position of surrender for the Glory Bees, which is a nice stretch, and just really a position of offering ourselves fully to the Lord and being open to receiving the graces from our prayer through the rosary. And then usually throughout the decades, through each Hail Mary, there will be a different movement, or possibly one movement where we'll hold that through maybe a few Hail Marys. And so there's really a great variety of full body movements, and also a balance of effort and surrender.
We have time to squeeze in Linda, who's joining us this morning from Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning, Linda. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Colleen Scariano.
Good morning, John and Colleen. I've been walking 3.5 miles for the last probably greater than 5 years every day. And I know this because my little niece came with me one day and she on her phone said, I want to know how long you walk. So I pray the rosary. That's my first prayer that I do. And on Fridays, which is today, I'm going to be praying the Way of the Cross with the fourth mystery, which is taking up the cross. And then it spills over a little bit after the crucifixion, which is the fifth mystery. It spills over a couple of days. And so I put in things like that because it kind of matches up. And on the third mystery of the rosary for today is going to be also that the crowning of thorns. And so I include remembering people that are with addictions and mental illness.
Thanks, Linda. Colleen, real quick, your reaction.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And then really, that really just imitates what we do in Soul Core and reflecting on, you know, the mysteries in the life of Christ, offering those prayers and offering the sacrifices of our movement for those intentions that are in our heart. And I love that you're out walking. That's one of the greatest things that we can do for ourselves. And Jesus was a walker, you know, all throughout the Bible. We hear about him, you know, walking from town to town. So it's really a beautiful practice that you've incorporated in your life and very similar to Soul Core. And that kind of brings us to what we have going on for May is the Movement for Mary Challenge, which is we're challenging people to pray at least a decade of the rosary a day, and then move their body for 30 minutes in any way that suits them. And so, and to offer all that in honor of the Blessed Mother for this month of May. And people can find out more about that on our website, soulcord.com. There's a banner there to register, but it's a great way to join others in honoring the Blessed Mother and also committing to praying and moving your body.
It's a beautiful way to honor our Blessed Mother and work on one's fitness as well, especially in the month of May. Where can our listeners who may have stumbled upon our conversation learn more in depth about what you're doing, not only with the movement for Mary, but with the Soul Core workout routine?
The best resource really is soulcord.com, which is our website, and there's a wealth of information there. You can find out more about the Movement for Mary Challenge, and then also we have live classes around the country. You can find those locations on our website, and we also have an online studio with over 100 digital offerings where people can do, right from the convenience of their own home and a new app, they can do SoulCore classes and some of the other prayer offerings that we have as well.
Well, Colleen, I got to tell you, I think it was providential to have you on the show this morning because I needed to hear this message. I've been slipping on my working out, and this is a great inspiration and motivation, not just for me, but for so many others. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, I'm so happy to hear, John. We'd love to have you join us for the Movement for Mary Challenge.
Sounds great. Many blessings to you. Colleen Scariano, the co-founder of SoulCore. We need to take a short break when we come back. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg will look ahead to this Sunday's Gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance. So stay with us. There is much more to come on this Friday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air on another Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you, and now it's time to look ahead to this Sunday's Gospel. Always keep in mind that the Word of God in the Gospels, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, is powerful. When the Gospel, the Book Eternal, is proclaimed, Christ is passing by. Jesus is speaking to you. So listen carefully, folks, as Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, Bishop of Reno, Nevada, shares his weekly reflection on this Sunday's Gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance.
Our Gospel reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Time now to dig in for a deeper look at that Gospel reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter out of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Joining us, as usual, it's Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from Reno, Nevada. Bishop Muggenberg, great to have you along.
And good to be here, Glenn.
Got out the pruning shears this week as we talk about vines and trimming those vines and the like. How do we remain in Christ? We'll look at that this week. Great to have you along.
Great to be here. And, you know, this is a beautiful passage. We need to remember that Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the context of the Last Supper. And so that's a very Eucharistic setting. And therefore, when Jesus talks about remaining in him and him remaining in them so that they can have life, we need to connect that within the context of the Eucharist so that we don't just receive communion in a momentary encounter with Jesus and that's it, but rather when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, that we enter into a relationship that continues to endure, so that we continue to live in Christ and he continues to live in us, and we can form our lives to his as we go forth from the church, so that we might become the body of Christ that we receive. And that I think emphasizes the transformational aspect of the Eucharist.
We don't want to be those discarded branches that are trimmed and thrown into the fire. We want to remain in him, but we're not just left kind of scratching our head and wondering how to do that.
No, Jesus is actually, you know, teaching us that if we are connected to him like a vine and a branch, and he is living in us, that he will live through us. And so as a result of that, it's not just a matter of receiving God's grace or receiving God's life. In order for us to keep that and keep that life and that keep that life and that grace vibrant within us, we have to be sharing it with others. Because a living branch does that. A living branch doesn't just receive sap and then do nothing with it. A living branch allows that sap to bring forth life through it, you know, to benefit others. And so Jesus is using a beautiful image that can very much challenge us to ask ourselves the question, are we conduits of God's grace and love and life, or are we simply containers of it?
We do need to pass it on. At the same time, that beautiful gift of invitation from our Lord to remain connected to him. And then, you know, we can't look at this passage without talking a little bit about trimming, about pruning, something I did in the backyard here not too long ago when it was still sort of spring-like before the last snow. But there are different times of the year and different meanings for pruning at the right time. And some, like we find, if we were that branch, it can be very painful, even if we do get to stay connected to the tree.
When Jesus speaks about pruning, there were three basic reasons why people pruned in the ancient world. So, you know, the first reason is something that we do today, and that is to shape the vines, to get the vines to grow in the right direction. And so pruning is a way in which God kind of helps us throughout history to direct and shape the mission of the church and the world. And we see that happening in the first reading in the Acts of the Apostles as the Lord prunes the church in Jerusalem. And that really is the impetus for their ministry to basically bring the gospel to the world. And so that experience of pruning isn't meant to stop growth. It's meant to direct growth and actually to generate new growth. Secondly, pruning occurred at two times. One was in the spring. And in the springtime, people would prune so as to remove the dead branches. Dead branches, you know, could be a way in which disease or other types of damaging agents could enter the vine and even kill the vine, if not weaken it. And so people needed to prune away those elements that were dead, lest it cause the rest of the vine to suffer. Now, that's an important image because, again, this is in the context of the Last Supper, where Judas was basically a dead branch. And yet he was sitting in the midst of the other disciples. So Jesus wants us to recognize, you know, where are those dead branches in each one of our lives where we are allowing the presence of sin to bring in corruption, et cetera, and to pray for the grace to be pruned and to prune those ourselves. The second pruning occurred in the fall as the vines were just beginning to put on their fruit. And the reality is that if you want fruit that is abundant and juicy and rich and very meaty, then you have to prune certain of the developing buds that simply would take away sap. And they would take away, you know, all those nutrients that would allow some of them to become more fruitful. And so that experience of pruning for the sake of the harvest is something that we as a church need to do, because the reality is that there are tons of good things we can do. But if we try to do absolutely everything, we may not be able to do anything well. And we know that from pastoral experience. So where do we put our efforts? You know, where do we put our energy and our resources? Into those areas that are bearing fruit for the harvest of the gospel.
Good to know, too, again, with so many opportunities for growth in our own church communities, to be able to separate the good from the excellent so that we aren't trying to do all of the good things and then none of it is as good as if we'd done a few excellent things. A hard choice to make from time to time, but necessary. But as we maybe get a little further removed from an agricultural life, it's sometimes hard to see. But I've had a couple of backyard instances through the years where, due to wind damage or what have you, I've had to cut down about half a tree. And then over time, it's just one whole good-looking tree over time once again. The other note here, too, probably is that we should work on pruning
ourselves and not so much looking for other parts of our assembly to kick others out and prune them.
That's true. You know, we can be so good about seeing other people's need to prune their lives, but Jesus doesn't want this to be any kind of a teaching that generates comparison or judgmentalism or even worse, condemnation. He wants it to be a self-reflection that ultimately leads us to do the pruning in our own lives we need to do so that we can remain in him. And that the grace of his life can flow into us and into every part of our lives and then through us to others so that we are bearing fruit for the kingdom of God.
And Mrs. Muggenberg, love the encouragement found in the last verse there. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. By doing what we're asked to do, what we're called to do, that's how we glorify God. I find that just beautiful encouragement.
It is beautiful, and I think one of the challenging parts of that final verse is that Jesus says, we become disciples to the extent that we bear fruit. You know, the reality is that we can have lots of definitions for what it means to be a disciple. We can say, well, I was baptized, therefore I must be a disciple. Or, you know, I sit in the pew every Sunday at church, therefore I must be a disciple. But the reality is that Jesus is being very clear in his definition of discipleship. And discipleship is when we bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And fruit in this image means that we are bringing other people to Christ. So that we are multiplying the gift that we have received, the gift of faith. And so to the extent that we are actively bringing others to Christ effectively, that's bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And so part of being a disciple is always being a missionary who shares faith with others and leads them to Jesus.
Spring is here. It's the Easter season. We are to go forth and bear much fruit. Thanks for another great reflection, Bishop Muggenberg. If you'd be so kind as to wrap us up this week with your blessing.
The Lord be with you, and may the blessing of Almighty God, who shares his life with us in the Eucharist, always flow through us, be nurtured within us, and be shared with others by us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Bishop Muggenberg. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Mirror by Lynn Phipps Atlin. Hoss, our wire-haired dachshund, has a problem. Whenever he's on my bed and he stands up and turns in a certain way, he begins to bark frantically at the image he sees in my dresser mirror. Even though he's no longer a puppy, he still does not recognize himself in the mirror. This lack of recognition not only frightens him, it sparks a series of distressing growls and the like. Now, I've tried picking him up and placing him directly in front of the mirror, but he refuses to look himself in the eye and acknowledge who the image is really reflecting. I've thought long and hard as to why Hoss, unlike the other dogs who learn to recognize themselves early in puppyhood, still does not realize who he's seeing in the mirror. I think it's perhaps because he's been raised by two Scotch collies. Denby and Belle have parented Hoss. He goes everywhere they go and mimics their behavior. I've come to the conclusion that somewhere in his doggy brain he sees himself as a collie. Thus, his own reflection startles him. He thinks it must be strange, or a strange dog that has somehow gotten into the house. Unfortunately for Hoss, well, he has the courage to look himself in the eye in the mirror and accept himself with delight for who he really is, he'll never feel safe or comfortable around this other dog. Likewise, as people, we too can have a distorted or totally unrealistic image of who we really are, for reasons too numerous to delve into many of us when looking in the mirror. View ourselves as ugly, fat, skinny, stupid, plain, unpleasant, too short, too tall, or any number of other unflattering ways, instead of seeing ourselves for who we truly are, fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord God of the universe, a fact of creation that makes us, each and every one, beautiful. So the next time you look in the mirror, don't be like Hoss, rather look yourself square in the eye and begin to praise God for exactly the way he saw fit to make you. As you continue to do so, you'll be surprised at how quickly your past image of who you are will begin to transform itself into whom you truly are, a creation of godly beauty and love. From Psalm 139, 13 through 15, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are too wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn, for that wonderful message here this morning.
Coming up next hour on Morning Air, Attorney Ed Whalen, a distinguished senior fellow of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, will be with us to discuss the Supreme Court hearing oral arguments on the Idaho abortion ban. Plus, Professor Roy Shoman, a Jewish convert into the Catholic Church, will discuss the anti-Semitic protests that have been going on all across our country's college campuses. So stay with us. There is much more to come in hour number two on this Friday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.